In a quiet coffee shop, Lana sits alone, deliberately positioning herself with a clear view of both exits. When approached by an arrogant man named Craig, she rebuffs him with icy precision. But it's Craig's friend, Logan Bennett, who catches her attention, a man who studies her with analytical intensity rather than predatory interest. Their first interaction crackles with unspoken recognition. Two people skilled at reading micro-expressions, creating an immediate intellectual connection despite Lana's determination to remain detached. This seemingly innocent meeting masks Lana's true purpose. Shortly after, she methodically prepares for violence in her sparse apartment, weighted backpacks to build strength, tactical gloves to prevent traces, specially modified boots for silent movement. Before entering Ben's house, she observes his routine for hours. With calculated precision, she attacks him as he exits the shower, executing a perfect strike to his Achilles tendon. When he fails to recognize her through his pain, she reveals herself as one of his victims from years ago, now returned for vengeance. What's chilling is the masterful juxtaposition between Lana's normal exterior and her methodical brutality. She functions seamlessly in society while harboring a mission of vengeance that consumes her every waking moment. Her transformation from victim to predator raises uncomfortable questions. What happens when trauma reshapes someone so completely that vengeance becomes their North Star? Can someone who has embraced such darkness ever truly connect with another person again? Logan Bennett, an elite FBI profiler, examines gruesome crime scene photos while methodically consuming black coffee and wheat toast, his desensitization to violence evident. This detachment serves him in his most challenging case, five men from the same town murdered across different states, each tortured for precisely 3 days. "I don't get inside their heads," Logan explains. "I crawl into their psyche, inhabit their worldview, understand their twisted logic." This approach makes him exceptional, but isolates him, until Lana enters his life. The victim shared disturbing parallels with Logan, single, fit men in their 40s, living in isolation, all with military or law enforcement backgrounds. Yet he fails to recognize this pattern as a threat. His preoccupation with Lana blinds him to warning signs, her predatory gaze, calculated questions, and how she mirrors his body language. Ironically, the skills that make him exceptional, pattern recognition, behavioral analysis, psychological insight, completely fail him in his personal life. Each dinner conversation unwittingly gives Lana information to evade capture. Lana exists in a constant state of duality. With Logan, she experiences genuine connection that makes her feel human again, less like a cold monster and more like a woman. Yet these tender moments contrast with her meticulous murder planning, complete with hidden cameras and soundproofed rooms. Her trauma surfaces in fragments, flashbacks of Tyler holding her down while Ben assaulted her, and Kyle hurting someone else. These memories once devastated her, but now fuel her mission. Years of suffering transformed her from victim to avenger. Lana's compartmentalized life allows her to feel butterflies around Logan while simultaneously plotting murder. After their first night together, she mentally notes to disable monitoring channels, lock her murder room, and secure weapons. The monster never gets the prince, she thinks, recognizing her impossible situation. She's torn between healing through Logan and healing through revenge, a woman divided, yearning for normalcy while executing her meticulously planned vengeance. As Logan and Lana's relationship deepens, their worlds dangerously overlap. In New York, Lana and Jake nearly encounter Logan and Craig during intelligence gathering, a close call highlighting how quickly her double life could unravel. When Logan accidentally leaves case files at his apartment, Lana provides crucial insights about a killer, identifying him as likely a custodial worker based on cleaning methods. Logan immediately shares this breakthrough with his colleague. These moments expose both characters' vulnerabilities. Logan, despite his training, is blind to the danger before him as his feelings grow. Meanwhile, Lana genuinely helps the FBI solve cases while committing similar crimes, using her understanding of killers to catch others while evading capture herself. Their relationship exists in dramatic irony. He's falling for exactly the type of person he's dedicated his life to catching. Every intimate moment carries tension. Will he recognize her true identity? Will her growing feelings lead to confession or redemption? Lana's approach to murder stems from a methodical desire for her version of justice. When she captures Lawrence, she chains him suspended midair with arms spread wide, a position that maximizes vulnerability. She psychologically tortures him by singing children's songs from the shadows, watching his emotions cascade from confusion to recognition to panic. Her methods mirror her own trauma, creating a twisted form of poetic justice. When Jake arrives with Tyler, both recognize their captors with horror. "You're dead," Lawrence gasps. "You should have killed me deader," Lana replies, cutting into his flesh. These scenes challenge our moral compass. Lana targets monstrous men who escaped legal consequences, yet by becoming what once terrorized her, she raises uncomfortable questions about cycles of violence. If the justice system fails victims, is vigilantism ever justified? Lana has studied pain as an art form. Her revenge isn't just killing, it's forcing her victims to understand what they did to her. Logan cracks his serial killer case, connecting victims with symmetrical faces to bronze sculptures, leading authorities to target custodian Gerald Plemons. Simultaneously, Lana and Jake advance their revenge plot, capturing and torturing Lawrence and Tyler. Logan grows suspicious after noticing blood in Lana's hair, though she attributes it to Jake's cut finger. During an FBI operation, screens suddenly display a town hall explosion. Logan collapses in violent grief, believing Lana perished in the flames, throwing objects, attacking colleagues, and watching helplessly as the building burns. When Logan presents evidence of Robert Evans' wrongful conviction to Director Collins, who refuses to reopen the case despite clear proof, Logan resigns on the spot, surrendering his badge and weapon. The chapter ends with a startling revelation. Another victim with their killer signature marks has been discovered, meaning Lana survived. Logan immediately begins planning to find her. 3 years later, Logan, Lana, Jake, and Hadley live together in Greece as an unconventional family unit, maintaining careful communication protocols in their well-protected home. Occasionally, Logan and Lana perform justice rituals targeting individuals who've evaded legal consequences, like a diplomat's son with an assault history who escaped prosecution. This conclusion challenges typical healing narratives. Lana has found a structured outlet for addressing injustice, with Logan providing boundaries. Instead of returning to law enforcement, Logan discovered a middle ground that lets him support Lana while targeting those beyond legal reach. We often expect trauma survivors to simply move on, but reality is messier. For them, healing means integrating experiences into their identity, not reverting to former selves. Their relationship centers on complete acceptance, including trauma-shaped parts. True recovery isn't eliminating darkness, but learning to live with it and sometimes channeling it protectively. They've created their own imperfect accountability, acknowledging the blurred line between monster and hero.